Today is Saturday, July 19th. Good morning for WRCO News. I'm Joanne Krulatz. A criminal complaint was issued against Gavin Thompson, 23, of Dodgeville, according to a press conference Friday at the Iowa County Law Enforcement Center. Thompson will be formally charged next week in Iowa County Court for first-degree intentional homicide of Dodgeville resident Dorinda Sedgbrick, burglary while armed, hiding a corpse, and operation of a motor vehicle without consent, along with other possible charges. Gavin Thompson was arrested in Lincoln, Nebraska, following a pursuit, crashing the vehicle, and trying to flee on foot. The body of Dorinda Sedgbrick, 67, of Dodgeville, was located in the vehicle. Authorities believe the killing was a random act of violence. There was no known relationship between the suspect and the victim. The Richland County Sheriff's Department reports a fatal crash occurred Friday night, July 11th. At approximately 6:45, the Richland County Dispatch received a call about a single vehicle rollover with entrapment. Deputies of the Richland County Sheriff's Office responded along with the Lone Rock EMS and Lone Rock Fire Department. The vehicle had been traveling westbound on U.S. Highway 14 when it crossed the center line, left the road, and rolled into the ditch. The driver and only occupant to the vehicle, Donald Foster, 47, of Lone Rock, was found trapped under the driver's side of the vehicle. Life-saving attempts were started by bystanders and the Richland County Sheriff's Office. Foster was transported by Lone Rock EMS to the hospital while life-saving attempts continued. Donald Foster was later pronounced dead at the Richland Hospital. Alcohol and road conditions due to heavy rain are believed to be factors in the crash. The incident is still under investigation by the Richland County Sheriff's Office. The Wisconsin Department of Safety and Professional Services has announced the distribution of over $36 million to fire departments across the state. The funding comes from the 2% fire dues program, which requires insurers to pay 2% of the premiums they collect to the state for distribution to professional, volunteer, and hybrid fire departments. This year's funding through the program increased by nearly 12%. Fire departments use the money they receive for things like equipment, fire prevention programming, and crew training. Attorney General Josh Call announced that he and 45 other attorneys general have indicated they plan to move forward with an agreement in principle with 8 opioid manufacturers that could secure approximately $720 million nationwide for their alleged role in fueling the opioid crisis. Wisconsin would receive up to $12 million under the proposed settlements. The settlements have not been finalized, and the next step in the process is a sign-on period for local governments across the country. Under the proposed agreements, 8 companies would pay. They are Mylan, now part of Viatris, over $284 million over 9 years, Hikma, over $95 million over 1 to 4 years, Amneal, over $71 million over 10 years, Apotex, over $63 million in a single year, Indivior, over $38 million over 4 years, Sun, over $30 million over 1 to 4 years, Alvogen, over $18 million in a single year, and Zydus, over $14 million in a single year. In addition to these abatement payments, several of the settlements would allow states to receive free pharmaceutical products or cash in lieu of this product. 7 of the companies would also be prohibited from promoting or marketing opioids, making or selling any opioid products that contain more than 40 milligrams of oxycodone per pill, and are required to implement monitoring and reporting systems for suspicious orders. Indivior has agreed not to manufacture or sell opioid products for the next 10 years, but it would be able to continue marketing and selling medications to treat opioid use disorder. Including this agreement in principle and the recently announced proposed resolution with Purdue Pharma and the Sackler family, Wisconsin and local governments have obtained settlements amounting to more than $874 million in funds from companies and individuals that allegedly helped fuel the opioid epidemic. Wisconsin election officials have found that the former Madison city clerk broke five election laws during the 2020 presidential election. The bipartisan Wisconsin Elections Commission voted 5-1 Thursday to accept a report detailing the violations, which included mishandling nearly 200 absentee ballots. However, the commission lacks the authority to bring criminal charges and did not recommend prosecution. The report cited poor management and a lack of procedures in the clerk's office. Madison has since implemented safeguards to prevent similar issues. Four voters whose ballots were uncounted have filed claims seeking compensation as part of a potential lawsuit. A Wisconsin judge has approved releasing a woman from a mental hospital more than a decade after she nearly killed a classmate to please the fictional horror character Slender Man. Experts testified Morgan Geiser has made progress with her mental health, leading to her conditional release plan being approved. She is now 22 and has spent 7 years in a psychiatric hospital after pleading guilty to attempted first-degree intentional homicide. She and a friend lured the victim to a park and stabbed her 19 times. All three girls were 12 years old at the time. The case gained national attention due to the girls' obsession with Slender Man, a popular internet boogeyman. The latest results from performances at the 2025 National High School Rodeo Finals in Rock Springs, Wyoming are in. We are keeping an eye on the results of entrants who completed at the state finals held last month in Richland Center and earned the right to move on to nationals. In the Thursday morning performances in barrel racing, Kenzie Mason of Scandia, Minnesota placed 21st with a time of 21.64. In girls cutting, Callie Parrish of Laval placed 12th with a score of 194. In steer wrestling, Braden Carlson of Medford placed 7th with a time of 7.71. In the Thursday evening performances in girls cutting, Carly Guckenberger of Marshfield finished in a three-way tie for 5th with a score of 207. In pole bending, Kaylin Olendick of Camp Douglas placed 27th with a time of 31.034. In rain cow horse, Raylan Johnson of Broadhead placed 21st with a score of 256. In steer wrestling, Braden Scaife of Lancaster placed 2nd with a time of 5.38. In Friday morning performances in goat tying, Callie Parrish placed 14th with a time of 8.25. In pole bending, Raylan Johnson placed 18th with a time of 24.938. In saddle bronc, Trip Kite of Oxford placed 3rd with a score of 76. In tie down roping, Nathan Van Ert of Wisconsin Rapids placed 5th with a time of 12.32. The National High School Rodeo Finals conclude today. The annual Casanova celebration continues today and tomorrow at Casanova Memorial Park. Today's events include a pancake breakfast until 10, the Tracy O. Jennings Memorial Scholarship 5K Run 1 Mile Walk, a free kids fishing contest, and a 3-on-3 basketball tournament, all at 8. The Casanova Legion 491 baseball games will begin at 11. As far as we know, a Luck of the Draw bags tournament starts at noon. The Hope It Floats Raft race is scheduled to begin at 1:30, and Pasture Golf will start at 4. Tonight, High Mileage will perform at 8, and fireworks will be shot off at dusk. Tomorrow, the parade will step off at 11, featuring this year's Grand Marshal. Jeffrey Even is Casanova's village president.
We've been trying to get Jim Dietloff to be our parade marshal. He's a prominent member of the Legion, a prominent member of the community. When you drive through Casanova and you see all the American flags on the telephone poles, that's Jim Dietloff doing that. He puts them up every year for Memorial Day, takes them down every year after Labor Day. If there's a tattered flag or one that's hung up, he's out there with his extension ladder and he's taking care of it. Pretty well anything at the Legion, Jim is your guy to talk to. Before the CAS celebration kind of transitioned to the committee that we have now, Jim was a major player in organizing and behind the scenes work, and just really a guy that doesn't want any credit, so he's really not going to enjoy what I'm saying right now, but really truly deserves it. Been trying for years to get him to be the parade marshal, and he has always turned us down. The compromise this year is that the American Legion will be the parade marshal.
Stay updated about what's going on in Casanova this weekend. You can check out their Facebook page. Governor Tony Evers has ordered the flags to fly at half staff today in honor of a Middleton couple. Former Wisconsin State Patrol Bureau Director David Pabst and his wife Terry were killed in the town of Middleton earlier this month. Authorities believe the couple's son, James, fatally shot them before killing himself. David served the state patrol for over 38 years, including 25 as a law enforcement officer. Terry most recently worked as a special education teacher at Thoreau Elementary School in Madison. Evers said their memories and contributions to make Wisconsin a better and safer place for all who call our state home will not be forgotten.